There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel
in. Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
Government is the problem.
Is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Yada do, yada dee, yada do. Hello, we are back. It is what is today's Wednesday, the 23rd of February, 2011. One day closer to the conflict that's been promised us by everybody. One day closer to liberty and justice, and one day closer to righteousness here in America. And I am Dutch Jones. I'm just a voice on a microphone. If you're listening to my voice, you are the resistance. I love it when people do that. They steal that from that, what was that movie, the Terminator movie, but it's still a good line. If you can hear the sound of my voice, you be the resistance. You am the resistance. You are the resistance. You're part of the solution is what you are. You're part of God's plan, if you're listening to this voice. Whether you believe in him or not, doesn't matter. You're still part of his plan, and your life will be played out according to his law and his rules. And that's what we do here at the church at Kaweah, at the Dutch Jones Show. You're listening to Stronghold Radio. There's a reason I chose that name for the network, Stronghold Radio, because this is our stronghold. This isn't the last stand. This isn't our Masada. This isn't our Alamo. It's just a stronghold, one of many that we have. It's part of the plan, part of the solution, the place where we meet to get things done in the holy cause of liberty. And I try to share them with you, share my views on things that are happening in the body politic, in the world, current events, a not-so-social studies. I'm antisocial, so you're going to get a weird view from me. It's a Christian militant world view. I'm not in the chat room right now. I don't know who's in there. I'm on the Facebook answering some questions there. We've got some folks in there. We got quite a few folks in there. Thanks for joining us, the usuals. I'd like to thank Olima. I know you're listening, but you just can't participate because you're busy. But I appreciate you putting up all of our archives. Those of you that are pod people listening that can't listen live, that's because of Olima. Olima in Southern California, another victim of this great depression that we're in. We're all struggling, getting by the best we can, and using our resources for the cause. And Olima is using her resources for our cause, and we appreciate that. So if you're listening on a podcast download or an archive download, I guess I should say. I don't know really what a podcast is, I'll be honest with you. I just like calling people pod people. But you have to thank Olima for that. That's her ministry. That's what she's doing. That's how she's reaching out. And we all have our ministries. We got Scotty. I don't know if Scotty's in there yet. Rebroadcasting our signal. And he sent us a $30 donation. We got a $50 donation, I think, from Batfag. We got stuff paid today. We're a little bit ahead of the curve. That's nice. We thank you so much for that. Because we can't do this for free. It's not like we just have a radio transmitter and we turn it on. We have to pay for the internet and all that. Although if somebody were to come up here and show us how to use the shortwave transmitter that we have setting that was donated, we might go shortwave. We just don't know how to do it. but that's what we do. Well, today I listened to another 20 minutes of Lindsey Williams. It's not worth replaying. It was basically a rehash. Alex Jones, I just can't stand his show. I'm sorry. I don't like to bag on people that... I like to bag on people, I'll be honest. I do like to bag on people. But he just wouldn't shut up. He should have just put Lindsey Williams on and let him read what he had written, because you could tell he's reading from a script, just to get his thoughts together. But it was just more of the same stuff, I thought. It talked about how they're going to use the troops from Canada and Mexico to control America and vice versa, and maybe Chinese troops. Got a report today of some weird-looking helicopters in California. We don't know who they are, but they're out there, and we appreciate that. Our skies here have been clear and clean. Well, not clear. They're hazy from the clouds, so I can't see if there's any chemtrails up there. Everybody's sick. You can hear it in my voice. The lovely Miss Stacy is down at the house. She's downstairs, we call it, because you have to walk about 50 meters down a trail to get to our house from where we broadcast. So she's downstairs. Lou's with me. He's got a little cough. You can hear the pastor's off his feet. By the way, those of you that are listening, and I know you're out there, that are members of the church, there is no Bible study tonight. We had to cancel the Bible study tonight. And he's just too sick. But Lewis and I got a lot done today. We cleaned up around the ranch. We're trying to clean up around the research center. There's been, you know, it's usual. It's like any other country place. People pile stuff up here and there, and it gets forgotten. We moved a bunch of metal shells. We don't want to get rid of them. We got a ton of metal shells because it is a library. And when we cleared out the space for the what will originally become the radio room and the living quarters for whoever the next caretaker will be for the research center, we had to take out all those shelves. The books were no good. They were all tax law books. We have a lot of law books here, man's law books. We have God's law books, and we're not getting rid of those, but we made room. So we're getting ready because I have this feeling in my gut, the stuff that we're hearing from Lindsey Williams, the economy, I mean, $100 a barrel for fuel, food prices going up, not because of scarcity of food, but because of the weakness of the dollar. I just, in my gut feeling, I think that the Lord is going to use this location. Welcome, General Carver. We got Sergeant Slade in there, Minuteman. We got the whole platoon showing up today. I can't see everybody. I don't know how to do that. It says that there's seven people, but I don't see all seven. There's Scotty, Minuteman, General Carver. Stacy's in there. Stacy, stay. You know, keep the fire going and stay warm, Stacy. If you need to, I'll send Lou down with more firewood if you run out. But we've got 20-plus acres here. We're looking at it today. Lou and I did the improvements, like I said, cleanup mostly, getting our shooting training facility ready for March 12th. We're building little movable barricades to use out there, things like that. And I'm just getting this sense, this feeling that people are going to come here, people I don't even know. I don't even think it'll be you folks, because if you're listening to the show, you're probably rooted in your community. You probably built a cache up there, so I know that. I don't expect my listeners to show up here and go, hey, I heard about you on the Dutch Jones radio show. But I just get this weird feeling that folks are going to start coming out of the cities, fleeing the cities. It's biblical, it's historical, it's common sense. But with that, I was talking to Minuteman, I think it was yesterday or the day before. We really need to focus some of our interests on urban survival. I tell you guys to get out of the city. I beg you to get out of the city. I pray for you to get out of the city. But in reality, I know a lot of you are going to be trapped behind the barricades in those cities when the bad times come. So when we were talking on the phone, it just, you know, he said it. It clicked. It's like, yeah, what? You know, I focus on wilderness survival. I was raised, a vagabond poacher, you know, raised by whores and thieves, basically. And I learned how to survive in the woods. But I also had an urban survival teaching. How to find things, how to make things work, and I think that when Minuteman said that, it was very important because it's something that I've neglected in this show. I keep bashing on the cities, which I will continue to do. One city I would not want to be in today is Chicago, which is now Little Israel because Rahm Emanuel just bought the mayorship there. By the way, but if you're in a city, we've got to start looking at that. You've got to start focusing. And doing, I try not to use military terms. Scope out what's around you. Look at what resources you have and what dangers are around you if you're in a city. We have talked about bugging out of the city, but I've never talked about a sustained way to sustain yourself in the city. And I don't have all the answers, but that's a new focus that I think this radio show is going to go into. I watched all the same shows you guys do, Apocalypse Man and all that kind of stuff. And you do see the things that you need, and you see the risks and the dangers, and we saw what happened in Katrina. In fact, New Orleans has been taken over by homeless people right now. The city's abandoned for the most part, and people are just learning to get in and take over these buildings and how to get to live in them. building a suitable fire in a structure so it's not detected and doesn't fill your room full of smoke. Those are the kind of things that maybe we need to be focusing on. Looking at the raw materials that are in bulk around you in industry and in storage that looters may overlook but may be of value to you. There's so many things. The simplest thing, like we talked about on the phone, would be things for collecting rainwater. If you live in a place that's not drought-ridden like we are here in the West, you're going to have to start figuring this stuff out if you're going to stay in the city. I remember in 28 Weeks Later, I think the zombie, they showed this father and daughter that were living on a rooftop somewhere in London, let's say. I don't know, some English city. One looks like another. And they had baby pools, buckets, all kinds of stuff on their roof, but it hadn't rained. Using collection tarps and cisterns to redistribute water. And a lot of people in cities, they don't have any way of removing waste from their building. It's all pipeline that has to go somewhere, and if nobody's manning it, it backs up. It's not like us out here. We have cisterns, septic systems, leach fields. Could you make one in your backyard? Do you have the materials to do that? How are you going to deal with your waste product in a city when you're living on a city block or even worse, an apartment building? How are you going to be able to do that? How are you going to transport yourself around to get things? I think people are talking here. Fortifying a vehicle so you can go out and get around. You're going to be like Omega Man, the original Charlton Heston movie. I can't remember what they called the one with that black actor, that dude. What was that one? It was supposed to be a zombie film with the in New York or whatever. Anyway, can't remember the name of that movie. But it was supposed to be a remake of Omega Man, and I didn't like it. But are you going to be able...
Washington?
Huh? Not Denzel Washington, no. The other guy.
Samuel Jackson?
No, the other black guy.
Michael J. Fox?
Michael J. Fox is not black. He's just shaky. It's not rhythm. Yeah, Will Smith. Thank you. General Carver threw out there Will Smith. He made that Armageddon movie. No, stop with the black performers, okay, Lou? Al Jolson, no, just stop. Can you dig into your backyard? Can you put a victory garden in your backyard? And once you do it, can you protect it? I'm going to pull out the whole thing. Yeah, the movie was I Am Legend. I'm going to pull out the whole thing of, like, I don't believe anybody can make a stand in a city. But let's say you get your entire subdivision all like thinking, all armed, all ready to go, then what are you going to do? How are you going to sterilize water? How are you going to deliver the water? How are you going to division of labor? Like one of the things up here, people that are starting to call me and say, hey, dude, I'm coming up there if anything goes bad. I go, you better not show up empty-handed. You better have gardening equipment, some seeds, just the basics, work gloves, work boots, so that you can continue to provide for your family. Just because you're coming here doesn't mean you're going to sit around and wait for us to feed you, because I'm not going to do that. It's going to be like the Plymouth Plantation. Can you scope out an area near where you live, a park, where you can cultivate crops if you have to? Now I'm talking recovery. I'm talking after the riots, after whatever flu kills everybody, all that kind of stuff. How are you going to feed your neighborhood, your village? You know, we're going to get beyond the Thunderdome here and start rebuilding it. Can you do it in a city? How are you going to get power? Where does your power... Do you even know, those of you that live in a city, where your electricity comes from? Most people don't. You walk through Los Angeles, they have no idea. Comes out of the plug in the hole in the wall. Just like they don't know where their food comes from. It comes from a grocery store, doesn't it? I have no idea. No idea. So if you're going to stay in a city, now's the time to start doing urban survival stuff. It's hard for me to say urban survival because they sound oxymoronic. If you're a loner and don't have a family, it's going to be a lot easier. You know, gathering food for one person is a lot easier than 5, 6, 7, 8. Somebody I was talking to has 12 kids that listens to this show. 12 kids living out there in Ohio somewhere. And she doesn't know what she's going to do. How can she save up enough food for 12 kids? Well, you put them to work in the garden. You give them sticks and have them go out and gather rats. Eat whatever you can get. Start training your kids now. Nobody's too little to work. Think about all the... I know movies are usually a poor representation, but you think about the old, you know, black and white films about people growing up in pioneer days. The kids are out in the field growing crops. The kids are out tending the flocks. The kids... And that's the way it used to be. Unfortunately, the mindset is now you know, the kids sit around and play Nintendo. Minuteman saying, even if you live in an apartment, you can grow tomato plants in pots on your patio. Yeah, going back to 2 or 3 years ago, we talked about 5-gallon buckets. I'm looking out the window here. Well, I can't see because there's a tree in the way, but we've got trees being started in 5-gallon buckets, and then we'll, you know, fruit trees, and we'll put them in the ground later. Yeah, you've got to start looking at this stuff. Can you adapt your patio to collect rainwater? You know, a couple 2x4s nailed to the wall, putting it out so it gets away and slants in into a trough, catches the water. If just for your plants or for hygiene, not just, you know, you're going to need to drink water. You're going to need to drink a lot of water. Just because you're in a city doesn't mean you're not going to be thirsty and needing water. It's not like you're as much as you would in the desert, but you're going to be working. You're going to be fighting for your life. Consumption will go up. You'll become more efficient, and maybe you'll eat better foods. And your body will get leaner and meaner. That's if you survive. But yeah, utilize whatever space you have. I think Olima was saying something about she has stuff on her patio. I'm trying to remember. But anyway, now's the time. You know, Lindsay Williams is saying 2012. I don't think we have till then. I really don't. That's one of the things I differ with him. I don't think we have until 2012. I think 2011's it. The way the economy's going, the way they're moving their ships around out there, they're trying to trigger a war. And those of you that don't get conscripted and dragged off to go fight in this war are going to have to stick behind and figure out how to survive with the people you got. I think about my great-grandmother. The stories during World War II, when all the men were away, she organized the women. They'd find empty lots in Boston. They'd get tires that people threw away, and you know they were rounding them up for the rubber and all that kind of stuff. They'd do tin drives, metal drives, all that kind of stuff. But she would get scrap wood, whatever she could do, and they'd build these family plots in whatever vacant lots there were around Boston, and they grew stuff. And they grew their own food, their victory gardens. Let's see. Oh, they're talking about garrisoning themselves. And those are great points in the chat room. If you're in a city and the enemy knows you're there, all they have to do is carpet bomb the cities. Concentrations of human resistance will be easy to locate in the cities. I still think people are going to abandon the cities, but if you plan on surviving there for a little bit, you've got to have these skills. The model that I see more likely is that people like us will make raiding runs into the city for resources, for machines. We'll say, hey man, we really need a metal lathe. And somebody's going to say, well, I know down in Visalia there's a metal shop. I think it's still standing. Let's go get that metal lathe. You know, so we go down there with a flatbed truck, 40 well-armed men, and we go into town and we get that metal lathe out, you know, salvage it. I'm telling you, it's not going to be pretty. It's, you know, it's America's headed for a dark ages, I really believe. And I can totally see us going out, salvaging, raiding. It's going to go back to city-states. It's going to go back to people holding on to whatever they can by force. Not a very pretty picture, is it? And I'm not making this up. This is just history. This is what happened in Europe in different cycles. You know, getting a hold of everything that you can now, that your resources will allow, trade for it, buy it. My brother contacted me, and he's, thank the Lord, recently awoken. He's not saved, but he's waking up to what's going on with the New World Order. And he says, is it smart for me? It's funny, because somebody asked us online, too, in one of the chat rooms the last few days, is it smart for me to finance a chunk of land somewhere, you know, and pay a little bit each month so that I have a chunk of land? And my brother, the next day, emailed me the same thing. And I said, yes. Get a chunk of land, pay on it, cause, and you know, if nothing goes bad, then you've got a couple acres in the mountains, you know, for your getaway hooch to be on. I would rather people liquidate what they have in the city and get out now, but if you're going to be stuck, you should still have a plan. Still have a plan. Murphy's Law, I know what would happen if I was still in the city. I'd probably find a piece of land if I was still married to my first wife because she wouldn't want to get out. And I'd get a piece of land somewhere away, 50, 60 miles away, and I'd put all my resources there, and then I'd never make it there, and somebody else would just raid my stash and probably do evil with it. That's why I don't like being in the city. You can't control what, you know, who finds what where. You can do stashes in a city, though. One of the places I would hit after a collapse, storage facilities. Those, you know, those 24-hour access places or 12-hour, whatever, where you pay a fee and you get to store your junk. You wouldn't believe the stuff people put in those. All their camping gear could be in there. That's a good source to find it, but wouldn't it be better if you just have it first? You have your Minuteman's saying put overseas shipping containers on your land for storage and you can live in them. Yeah. The lowest price I've been finding those for Minuteman, those C-Tran containers, like $2,000. And those are for like the half length ones, the 22 footers or something. They're very expensive. But a great way, self-contained, you put it all there, you get one for your supplies and one for you to live in. And I like the idea of digging in with them. But if you're in a city, there, I know a guy in Rancho Cucamonga, quirky little guy, a liberal, who loves guns, who I met at gun shows. I won't give out his name. But in his backyard, he buried four of those containers. And he lives in, at the time, when I met him 12 years ago, he was on the edge of Rancho Cucamonga, and it's since gone around him. So now he is in suburbia. But he had put these containers in before they had finished building his house. He was well-to-do. And he had one as a shooting range, two of them back-to-back, so he'd have like 88 feet to shoot pistol stuff. And then the other one, he just started stashing gear, guns, ammo. He put ventilation in them, all in an urban setting. And nobody really noticed it because there were containers all around the place. And when people asked what he was doing, he said he was digging a pool. And he used different contractors for different things, so no two people knew exactly what he was doing. And then when they were delivered, he designed it so people could just put them right in the ground. And then he used corrugated steel pipes, like sub-drain pipes, really large ones. I think they were 72-inch as risers to come down off of them, and he just put a lid over it. And the lid I won't say what the lid is, but if you went in his backyard, you wouldn't even notice it, you know, just with the naked eye. And the ventilation tubes and stuff he incorporated into his fence posts. And it was funny because he kept saying stuff like, well, I'm going to go test fire this. And then he'd come back and talk to me on the ham radio. I'm like, well, where do you live, you know, that you can just go out and shoot? And then I went looking for his house one day, and I couldn't believe it. And the guy had a shooting range in the backyard, and you couldn't hear it. They were like 14, 15 feet below the earth, and you could not hear it. I stood in his yard while he fired a Soviet SVT, and I couldn't hear it. He did it so well. And the problem was that when you bury them, you look at them, they look really stout. You have to put reinforcement inside of them. They will collapse. They're designed to have the weight bearing on the edges of the containers. And so, yeah, I've actually worked up here. Lou and I worked for a guy who buried, two of them? Yeah, and he did all this ornate stuff with gravel and bales of hay. Sergeant Slade saying, what about cement culverts? Yeah, I don't know about that. They work for storm drains for decades. Why not surviving in them? And you can put those in your backyard. And if anybody asks, say you were digging a pool and then you ran out of money, so you buried it again. Nice little cover to. And what's weird is, you know, up until the 1960s or so, everybody had bomb shelters, right? Remember those days? Fallout shelters, so every family would be in their backyard and, you know, they'd all die of thirst and starvation because they were too afraid to come out because the radiac meters would still show that there was radiation. That's the whole shelter in place theory of the Cold War that made it just easier to count the dead because they were all in nice little containers and they didn't have to bury anybody. They just, you know, pour cement over the lids. but there's so many things you can do even in a city. Go and get you some temporary structures, you know, those sheds. We call them Dry Creek sheds out here, but you can get these sheds at Home Depot and Lowe's that are prefabricated. Throw that in the backyard. It looks like a garden shed and start stashing your stuff in it. Overbuild it, though. Instead of just throwing it up like a structure, Minuteman can help me out with this. He's a contractor. You know, you put some insulation in it instead of just 2x4s on the inside, and you get three or four of those they're not that expensive. And you can end up living in them. I'm not talking about the cheap metal ones. I'm talking about the ones that look like a little barn and all that kind of stuff. And put those in your backyard. And people just think they're full of lawnmowers and stuff. Chances are they may not be looting lawnmowers. They may be looting for, like, you know, pickaxes and things. But you may be able to have secure stuff that way. And then, you know, you could even put a bathroom in them. Tie it into your sewage system, which will work for a while. Dig up your backyard and get a couple 55-gallon drums and some gravel and put it in your own leach field. Everybody else is pooping in the gutter, pooping in buckets and having to burn it, and you've got a little leach field and just don't share it because, you know, limited capacity. Those are the things that most survival folks don't tell you about. They want to teach you how to make a fire with a rubber band and how to build a shelter out of some twigs, but they don't talk to you about the disgusting part of, like, after 4 or 5 days in a campsite, your waste starts to build up. Now, the simplest form is just to put it in a barrel and light it on fire, but that's a waste of fuel, too, because it doesn't just burn on its own right away. You could ferment it for days and it, or weeks, and it would, which is kind of gross. But in the military, they'll usually mix it with diesel or something and get it burning to burn it off. And that's just nasty. Can you imagine every neighborhood with a 55-gallon drum cut in half in the backyard burning poop once or twice a week? You know, it's sad, but that's the kind of world we're looking forward to. And the less you prepare, the worse it's going to be for you. The hardship that you endure today in preparing or training for this will only make you better handle the incredible hardship and pain you're about to get into as a people. And I don't know. There's a lot of creative ways that you could do it in a city, I'm sure. But we're getting ready to take a break here. I didn't give out the phone number, did I? Let's not use that hard line. Let me give you the secondary line. It's 559-346-8362. 559-346-8362 if you want to call in and tell me about ways that you think you can better handle. Are you playing music? Ways that you can better you can better handle surviving in an urban environment, because I haven't really focused on that. I've got my skills in my head, but I've never really codified them or put them in order. I know if my first thing would be to get out of the city, but those of you that are going to stay in the city, give me a call. It's 559-346-8362. Wait till we get back on the air. These little breaks are my chance to run out to the bathroom or go outside and take a deep breath. I don't want to answer the phone on the break, so call in when we're back on the air. We'll be right back.
Let it grow where all can see. Feed it with our devotion, boys. Call it the Liberty Tree. It's a tall old tree and a strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty. Save it from the storm, boys. Water down its roots with tea. And the sun will always shine on the old Liberty Tree. It's a tall old tree and a strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty. March along with the piper, boys, we were born forever free. Let's obey the piper, boys, beneath the Liberty Tree. It's a tall old tree and a strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty. Pay the price they're asking, boys, always pay the tyrant's fee. Never give up the struggle, boys, fight for the Liberty Tree. It's a tall old tree and a strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty. Stand for the rights of man, boys, stand against all tyranny. Hang the lance of freedom, boys, high on the Liberty Tree. It's a tall old tree and a strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty. It will grow as we grow, boys, it will be as strong as we. We must cling to our faith, boys, faith in the Liberty Tree. It's a tall old tree and a strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
But I want to be clear. Nobody needs to thank me for what I'm doing. Okay? I'm honored to be doing what I'm doing. How could anyone learn about a global plan to enslave and exterminate people and not fight it?
Yeah.
What, is Alex Jones taking over my show too? What are you trying to tell me, Lou? Who is this Alex Jones guy? I'm Dutch Jones, J-O-E-N-S, D-U-T-C-H-J-O-E-N-S.info. Go to www.dutchjones.info, dutchjones.info. You can find out more about us. You can contact us there. Check out the Church of Kaweah. You can see what we're doing. And we can maybe network together, and we can start building alliances that are not entangling, as Jefferson would say. And together, I know we're going to win in the end, but that doesn't mean we're not going to go through a crucible of fire. But the only way we're going to get through this is if we work together. And that's why I'm always talking about... I like that music. You shouldn't have panned it down. I like that. Made me feel important hearing it in the background, Lou. I felt like I was in an industrial video, you know. Here at Clamor Inc., we like to invite you to come over and look at our products. I used to do a lot of industrial videos to make a living. I maybe should get back into that. This whole radio thing's just not working out. The difference is the stuff I used to make that I got paid a lot of money to do, it wasn't really that important. I find this is to be more important, but it doesn't make me any money. We hardly ever sell anything anymore, and it's kind of weird. It's like the stuff that's worth doing doesn't pay. I don't know. I guess God's trying to teach me a lesson. But let's see. We were talking about survival in urban environments. If you guys want to call in about that, you can. 559-346-8362. 559-346-8362. We worked on the shooting range today. I've got gray paint on my hands and in my hair, I think. What's left of my hair? I shaved my head, but little stubs of hair. And we were making different barricades, and one of the ones we have is a, I don't know, what's a standard size for a piece of plywood, whatever it is. We didn't limit it down, 8.5, or fits in the bed of a truck, whatever it is. And we cut a diamond shape, a hole, a square, and some notches on the side around it and put legs on it so it would stand up. And what we wanted to be able to do is people would have to shoot different positions there. There's even some low loopholes in it. That's what it is called, loopholes. We cut loopholes in it. Painted it gray, stuck it out there. We put some wire over them. And it's a form of cover and concealment. I mean, it's only plywood, but it could be a wall. It could be anything. It could be, you know, you could be sitting on a castle and 4 feet of granite. But utilizing the different positions to shoot from, strong, you know, support side, firing side, and kneeling, crouching, half kneeling, that kind of stuff, but not crowding your cover. And one of the things we did is I made it kind of wobbly, that if you crowd it and depend upon it, it'll wobble. It won't fall all the way over, but I designed it so it would move. So it goes back to what I was saying the other day about trying. Yeah, 4x8 sheet of plywood. Thank you. Minuteman. And I did that on purpose. I know people are going to go, oh, look, you made it weird, it moves. I did that on purpose so that people would get out of the habit of crowding their cover. And it's just one of those little things that I, as a trainer, try and think of to make their experience better. Because people, you know, they see the movies, you know, everybody hugging the wall and all that kind of stuff. It's not the proper technique. And I'm not going to go off, although it is Wednesday, we could copy Liberty Tree Radio and do Weapons Wednesday. But we're not going to do that. But the obstacles that I made out there, not obstacles, the barricades that I made are going to be utilized. The other thing that we need to do is we need to raise our berms. Because of erosion, our berms around our shooting range have lowered. And we're trying to come up with a way to do that, because if we just pile dirt and dirt on it, it's just going to keep eroding away. So if anybody out there, you know, you don't have to call on the show and explain it, but just email it to me at dutch@dutchjones.info, dutch@dutchjones.info. If you've got an idea on how to reinforce our berms, or maybe some, you know, you've seen something. We don't want to put a bunch of wood around it, because it'll just get shot up and splinter. But we're trying to find ways to make a better barricade, looking for items. I think if we just went out and bought a bunch of K-rail, like they have on the freeway when they're doing construction, I don't know how much those things are, but just add K-rail all the way around the top, just to put that course, and then it would increase the ricochet problem. But and probably amplify the sound. That's a big problem up here. Everybody hates the sound. But that's just what we were doing today. Cleaning up, pulling debris away from the research center, that kind of stuff. Felt good. It's like a cold 50 drizzly degrees. Keeps acting like it wants to rain, but I don't think it's going to. But a good time to get work done and moving stuff around. But getting back to what we were talking about, I think we're only going to do an hour today. Off the top of my head, it's tough to do more than an hour. So if you folks are still here when Ed pops in, let them know that this is all you get today. The Dutch Jones 1 hour special. I'm going to try and do 1 hour on Wednesdays. It's hard to fill 2 hours when I don't get the calls and there aren't a lot of... I mean, you guys are seeing on all the news all the junk that's going on. You don't want to come here and hear me repeat what Gaddafi said or what Rahm Emanuel said unless it's something so outrageous that I feel like I have to comment on it. We're just being bombarded right now with the chaos that the New World Order is imposing around the world, right? Don't be distracted by it. Get back to doing what you need to do. One of the things you should be doing right now is getting your packs together, especially those of you that live in the urban environment. Go through your packs. Make sure nothing's broken, nothing's leaked. The batteries, you know, they shouldn't be in the radios anyway, but make sure that they're still there. Go over your routes, your plans, all that kind of stuff again. Every time these little things flare up around the world, eventually it's going to catch and it's going to go. This may not be it, but I think soon we will see something big happen. And so it's good to be working on your stuff. Like I said, we went out and filled up our car full of gas, got oil, checked everything, in case we have to bug out. I keep calling this a stronghold, but we're not unrealistic. If we didn't know we were going to, you know, we may have to go out and run out, but we make sure we always can. Minuteman saying stack tires 2 or 3 deep to the height of the berm and fill them with dirt. That's something we're looking at today, actually. We used to have a bunch of tires laying around here. I don't know if there was a rubber drive or something, but we found one today. I couldn't remember. They were all over the place. But, yeah, tires would be good. I know that old gas stations, you know, when they change the tires, they have to pay a removal fee here in California. They charge you like $1 per tire. So I was thinking about going to the service station. Hey, we'll take all your bald tires and put like a T-rail fence post down the middle, stack them up, and then start just pouring dirt in them. I don't know. I've shot at tires before. I don't know what the ricochet problem would be, you know, because the thing about berms is they absorb the rounds. Not that anybody should be shooting that way, and hopefully we won't have any idiots that do that, but that is a great idea. The farmers around here use the tires to cover their silage pits for their dairies. They roll plastic over them, and then they put these I don't know if they hook them by chain or what, but the tires hold down the plastic. So that is an excellent idea for building up the that. Also, the urban. I'm sure your neighbors would hate it, but could you imagine if you just interlocked a bunch of tires and filled them full of dirt and made a little structure behind your house? Put some tin sheeting on it. You know, it would. You fill a tire up with dirt, nothing's going through it. It would be definitely a bullet stopper. You know, from a frontal assault. You know, I don't know how you do the overhead. That'd be a whole other construction thing there. But tires are a great building resource. I can't remember. I think it's the guy who played McLeod on TV. McLeod. He, in Colorado, he has a tire house made out of tires. You know, he's one of those environmentalist actors. I can't remember the guy's name now. But he played McLeod. Anyway, maybe it wasn't McLeod. I don't know. But this guy in Colorado, some actor, built a whole structure out of tires, and it's like always like 68 degrees. Summer or winter, 68 degrees. Really good insulation. The problem is we don't have a lot of dirt up here. It's hard, maybe hard to believe for some of you folks that live in real... Dennis Weaver. Yeah, it was Dennis Weaver. Thank you, Warland. We don't have a lot of dirt up here. We need to get somebody to come in and scrape bottom land, so we can get the dirt to build up our berm. And then, because we've got kind of a... On the lower portion of our trapezoid that leans towards the south, it's kind of a wetland down there. When it everything pools down there, we got cattails and all kinds of nice things down there. But when it's dry in the summer, if we could get somebody down there to scrape it and move the dirt for us, that's another benefit to living in the country. You can't just go collecting dirt around an urban neighborhood, can you? You know, you bring a 5-gallon bucket of dirt home every day to build something in the backyard. You know, tough resources are going to be so hard to maintain and protect in any urban environment. It seems like a nightmare for me to try and consider. It's hard enough trying to figure out how to feed my family, you know, when we can't go to the grocery store anymore, thinking about that up here in, you know, what I call urban interface. It's not wilderness, but it is a town. And we are, in fact, you know, in the foothills right next to the mountains. But as I walked out during the break, I counted 14 deer standing on our shooting range. 14 deer standing on our shooting range. No bucks that I could tell, unless they were spikes from this distance. But we, you know, you're not going to have that in an urban city. What you are going to have are, huh?
That's not code. They're actual 14 deer.
What?
It sounds like code.
Code, yeah. 14 deer on the shooting range. Lou actually thinks it's a code. But, now you made me forget where I was going. Oh, you're going to have dogs and cats. Are you ready to do that? Is that within your mindset? Because there's going to be packs of wild dogs ruling your cities after the collapse, period. Every war zone in history, every battle zone, every famine-infested place, you'll see dogs gnawing on the carcasses of the dead humans. Are you ready to eat those dogs, cats, and rats? You know, your chickens are going to be more valuable for eggs than they are going to be eating for protein for meat. But you got to feed those chickens something. How are you going to feed them in an urban environment? Everything, it's like a, you know, you have force multipliers in a good way. In an urban environment, you have force multipliers in a bad way. You know, if you have a family of five, that's five people you got to feed. Your garden's got to be that much bigger. Your whatever animals you're raising, you need to have that many more. And it's just, if you're going to be in that mindset, you've got a lot more work to do than I have to do. All I got to figure out is how to get down into that garden and, you know, get the drive to go start hoeing a line in the dirt, you know, putting the rows in, figuring out how we're going to water it with gravity feed off the stream. See, I don't have to worry about a pump. Like you said, when they offer free sandbags for erosion control, get as many as you can. That's right, Minuteman. The fire stations in L.A., they'll always say, oh, you can have 40 fire or sandbags per person. Go to every time they do that, whether you need them or not, go and get them. And stash them in the background somewhere so you have the sandbags for doing, you know, protecting your house. Start laying out your house in a way that it makes sense that it can be defended. And I keep saying I'm going to make a DVD on that, but, you know, put your bookshelves on exterior walls. Books are great bullet stoppers. Put your heavy, thick oak furniture on exterior walls. You know, stock up on that plywood that we were talking about before. Have it pre-cut to fit in your windows. Pre-cut to fit in your windows and have ways of locking them in that are strong. A 2x4 across, you know, a braced window will slow down all but the most, you know, what's the word, dedicated aggressors. Dutch, a network of neighbors can make it with many gardens, both indoor and outdoor. Yeah, Warren's got a good point there. Here where I live in Tulare County, I mean, people are growing like hundreds of marijuana plants inside their houses. Hydroponics, they call it. They bring in sun lamps, but it requires a lot of energy to do that. But greenhouses, you can build greenhouses fairly easy. PVC pipes, some plastic, and you can grow stuff in the winter. Find out cabbages, things like that. I'm not an expert on gardening, folks. I'm learning as I go right now. It's just not something I did a lot of it as a kid, but it was just a novelty. We didn't depend upon it because we didn't have to because we were surrounded by farm fields. And whenever we needed something, we'd just go get it. Just go get it. So, yeah, greenhouses is something in temporary structures, PVC pipe with plastic. Unfortunately, these tarps that you buy now, they don't last more than a season. So you're going to need a lot of tarps unless you can find the old canvas ones. Like my dad, when he was a house painter, the canvas tarps lasted him for years. I don't care what they look like, but if you can find them, buy them. And then just get a bunch of PVC, the fittings, and all that, and a hacksaw, and you can start building structures. And you can adapt them. Put plastic over them when you want them to be a greenhouse. Tarps over them when they're, you know, trying to keep heat in and shelter yourself. Are you going to have a lot of family coming and concentrating on your location? Are you prepared for that? Here in California, we don't have basements in 90% of the dwellings. I don't know why. Maybe it's the earthquakes. Maybe it's the seepage. Maybe it's radon gas. Maybe it's the building prices, construction costs. Colorado, everybody had basements. Everybody built in. When I lived on the plains, it wasn't as bad as Kansas. But we had tornadoes, so everybody had storm cellars. That's the difference between city folk and people like in the Midwest. They've already got the survival mindset. They've already got, you know, potting sheds. They've already got underground storm cellars. They've already know how to can foods. Maybe that's God's plan. Maybe the city folk are meant to die off. I don't know. IC Freedom is putting a good reminder up there. Don't waste your time on hybrid seeds. Open, pollinated, and heirloom is best. You guys should know that. If you don't know that, you need to get on that. Most of the seeds that are put out by the big companies like Monsanto will not produce offspring. You won't get a seed from it. So, and if they do have seeds, they still won't grow. So you have to get heirloom seeds. I like that idea, Minuteman. You can go to your metal supply companies around town, and they will have remnants that they want to get rid of, and you can buy them cheap. Get some flat plate to put behind your bookshelves. They won't be seen, but provide a good penetration barrier. And if you know it's there, you know you can kneel behind that bookcase. That's a good point. When I worked in Ontario for right after my divorce, I dropped out, and I was doing whatever odd jobs. I worked for a sub-drain pipe company that had all kinds of steel pipe. And what we would do, the guys that worked there, we would collect all these remnants because we made gigantic angles. We'd cut and weld, you know, like a 90-degree elbow out of 103-inch pipe for massive storm drain systems all around the L.A. area. And there'd be just all this remnant metal laying around. And my boss is just like, get rid of it, do whatever you got to do. We'd keep it up, take it, and sell it by the pound, and that was our party money for all the guys that worked in the shop. But some of it, had I the wherewithal, I would have saved it and saved all these pieces of rod and pipe, and we'd make metal boxes for, you know, what would they call them, manifolds. We had to make giant flood control manifolds, you know, the size of, you know, vans and things, and there was plate steel left all the time. And I always joked around about armor plating my Suzuki Samurai with them, but I never did it. So that's a good point. Go out and look at those, because now with the price of steel being so low, they may just want you to take it and get it off their property to free up some space. Just, you know, go out there with your Sanford and Son music playing, bum, bum, ba-dum. They just say, hey, the junk man's here. I'd like to take that off your hands. There's a lot of things that people throw away you can use to rebuild with. They just finished roofing the church, and there's all these remnants laying down there, you know, 4-foot square metal and stuff. And I'm waiting for the contractor to come and say, are you completely done? Because I'll use them for all kinds of stuff. You know, I hate it when I see people throw anything bigger than about, you know, a 12 by 12 piece of wood away. For at least I can burn it. And a piece of metal, it's like I can do something with that. So you've got to start doing that. And again, when you live in urban environments, guess what? Your neighbors freak out. The guy next door is storing up metal pipe. I'm going to call code compliance. It's another downside. They're going to be like, what are you doing? Why are you collecting all this stuff? Why do you have stacks of plywood and 2x4 in your backyard? Are you operating a business out of this dwelling? You don't have the proper permits. It's not zoned for that. Another setback to living in the city. See, I couldn't do this. I was going to try and be all positive about urban survival and discussing this stuff, and I'm just having a hard time doing it. I just can't. I can't get behind it, but I'm trying. Trying for you guys. You may want to find some, if you're in an urban environment, some large fuel storage containers, something that you can bury, like 55-gallon drums and a hand pump, and start storing fuel now. And then get your stabilize to keep the fuel good and cycle it. Because fuel prices are going to go through the roof, and if your bug-out plan requires driving more than a tank full of gas, you're going to have a way to do that. And so getting burying some 55-gallon drums, because if they find out you're storing, 110 gallons of gas in your backyard, they're going to go nuts. You know, they've got all kinds of zoning and codes interfere with my pursuit of happiness, Sergeant Slade writes in the chat room. Ain't that the truth, brother? You know, even here, you know, we build stuff. We've been joking about building a rappelling tower. You know, get like 4 telephone poles surplus, bury them, and then, you know, build a lattice work up them, and then, you know, and then build a face on it so I can teach people to rappel. Not that we would ever need it, really, as a militia. I don't think we're ever going to have a helicopter. We're not strike force, but it would just be a confidence-building, team-building tactic. But as soon as we put up a tower, I know what they would think. All the hippies would say, look, they're building a concentration camp for all the gay people around here. But I thought, well, that'd be funny. You know, yeah, because when we built our garden, we had to put up a six-foot-tall fence for the deer. It looked really good, and we overbuilt it, bigger posts than we needed. And people go, what is that, some kind of concentration camp? And I'm like, that's funny you would say that. We're building this so we don't have to go to the FEMA camp. You people who don't have gardens or don't have your gardens protected from the deer are the ones that are going to be going to the camps. They didn't like that. They got really mad and upset and started to cry. Come up with a watering system for your gardens that catches rainwater and distributes it automatically to your garden. Cisterns, if I haven't said that already. You know, I talked about the little buckets, but make a big collection place. Maybe that goes underground and stores it. And then you can add your bleach to it or whatever to purify it. And then pump it back out. You know, water and food. Water and food. It doesn't matter if you can protect your hacienda. It doesn't matter if you got all the firepower and all the Rambo movies combined. But if you can't feed and hydrate yourself, it's not going to be any good. It just means somebody like me is going to come by months afterwards, use a cutting torch to get into your well-fortified structure and find you dead, rotting behind your 50 cal, and we're going to go, oh, that's too bad. We'll say a prayer, bury you in the backyard, and then take all your stuff. Is that really what you want? That's fine with me. But you've got to have a full-orbed approach to this. That's the new term we're using up here, a full-orbed approach to this. And if you insist on staying in the cities, it's so hard for me to do this. I'm sorry, Minuteman. I said I was going to try to get people in the right mindset for urban and city survival. I see it as a temporary thing. I can't see it as a long strategy. It's more tactical than strategery, as Lou's favorite president Bush would say. Who is your favorite president? And don't say Lincoln. Who is your favorite president? Grover Cleveland?
Salman Rushdie.
Salman Rushdie was never president.
Yeah, he was.
No, he wasn't.
Look it up.
What do you mean, look it up?
He was.
I'm not going to go look it up. You look it up.
I just did.
No, you didn't. You're just sitting there. It does not. Salman Rushdie, didn't he write The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was also president.
He was also president. Now, because I said the word Salman Rushdie on the air, no Muslims can listen to our show. Because, you know, that's what they sent out a fatwa against just his name. Satanic letters or whatever. What do you call it? The satanic verses. Yeah. Gotta love them Muslims. Father today got found guilty in Arizona. He saw his daughter, who was a Muslim, and saw his daughter with her boyfriend's mother standing beside the road, felt she was too westernized, and then ran them both over with a Jeep and killed the daughter. I can't remember if he killed the mother or not. But he got found guilty, and you know, and he's a second degree. I don't know why they don't call it first degree. He went out looking for her. But it was funny because everybody's trying to defend it. Well, it's a different culture. You just don't understand. Anyway, but that came up. Let's see. Minuteman saying you can do great rappelling off of a bridge going up to North Fork, depending on what you need to get permission from. Yeah, the problem is rappelling from a bridge. You're free rappelling as if you would be from a helicopter. I don't like to start people out that way because it freaks them out. I like to have them start on a wall, start on about a 15 to 20 foot high wall, get them used to going, because going over the edge is the hardest part. And once they get over the edge and they get horizontal. But yeah, we used to rappel off bridges when I was a kid in Colorado. We'd rappel into the river just for fun. We'd like give us just enough rope so we'd get like 5 feet above the river and then let it slip through the figure eight and go into the river. But that's a great idea. Bridges are fun. We don't have any real buildings up here. I think the Veterans Administration, but it's all glass. We go right through the window. But yeah, good idea. I just wouldn't want the. I don't think I could get these people to free rappel. They probably freak out going over the edge, and then just that first thing be a jump, and then so it'd be good. But yeah, bridges brings back memories. We used to rappel into the Platte and Poudre River when I was a kid. They're separate names. They're both French. Plat, flat. I think it means plate. And then cache le poudre means cache the powder. Because some French explorers came through and hid their cannon and powder from the Indians when they got attacked on the river. Never found it. I always wanted to go find the cannon because I figured at least the barrel would be left. They buried it somewhere along the route. But and it's safe to rappel above a river. Not ours. The Kui River is only like 16 inches deep most of the time, and it's all rock. But good idea. There's some good faces around here that I'd like to get. Not like I'm in the shape to do it, but it would be fun to do some real rappelling again, although that's a huge investment in all the gear. But I have always thought you could fabricate some really cool stuff if it just don't skimp on the ropes. You know, you want to have actually good climbing rope. And yeah, Frontside has a rappelling class, and that's the only time anybody ever died. They had one fatality out at Frontside, and they're still going to court for it. Yes, I have Australian rappelled. We did that in, well, first I did it in high school several times. In Colorado, we have Outward Bound, which was mandatory survival and outdoor education. And I did that there. And then I did it in the Army once after I told the drill sergeant I knew how to do it at Fort Benning. They let me do it. So that was kind of fun. But Australian is fun. Yeah. Until you slip and then your face slams into the wall. I saw a guy do that. Actually, a friend of mine. But the only purpose I see for the Australian crawl is if you're going into Australian rappel is if you were, in fact, going into a hot LZ and you wanted to fire as you went down. And I've seen videos of guys doing that with, you know, the big big rope and going in. But I could never do that. It just seems weird. But anyway, it would be fun to do that and scare our neighbors. So, well, we're at the end of the hour here. I don't know if Ed's jumped in yet, but we're only going to do an hour. I got to go cook dinner for my family. Stacy's sick. You get an hour on Wednesdays. I hope it's enough. I thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate it when you guys stick around to listen. And I do everything I can to try and come up with a good show for you. I just don't want to push it. If why do another hour if I'm just going to babble? I'm not Alex Jones. So thanks for tuning in. Make sure you go to the website, dutchjones.info. Check out the forum. Check out the guest book if you haven't already. We'd like to see where you're from. And if you're so moved, take a moment to pray for us. Pray for Stacy to get feeling better. Pray for us to get the resources we need. Remember, the sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord. And he asks you to stand in the gap. We were talking about it yesterday. Faith without works is useless. So get out this week. Do an assessment of your property. If you live in an urban area, do a recon of the area around you to see what threats you have. And start making a plan. I think you're going to need it sooner than I imagined, even I imagined. We'll be back tomorrow with an hour of me and then an hour of Practical Christianity with Pastor Warren Mark Campbell, if his voice is good. If he's not here, we'll just play one of his sermons. Or maybe I'll talk. I don't know. But God bless you all, and thank you for listening.